Being here, and I know some people say, well, why do you kind of have a Christmas celebration service now on the 15th? Well, many members are gone throughout the holidays, so maybe the same crew. We'll keep singing Christmas songs next Sunday as well. Don't worry, we're not going to dispense with the spirit, but, you know, we want to give a time where we can get caught up in the season and yet not get caught up in the season, if you catch my drift. The good news is we get to celebrate Christmas every day of our lives. We don't know exactly when Jesus was born, so I kind of like that. That way it keeps me from relegating a devotion time to one day a year. This way I just do it 365 times a year and I got it covered, right? In fact, one of these days, why don't you sing Silent Night or O Come All Ye Faithful right smack dab in the middle of July, all right? It would work just as well at that point, too. Merry Christmas. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. Why in the world do people say Merry Christmas? I know. I just grew up saying Merry Christmas. No one ever sat me down and said, no, this is the whole point. You're saying this, all right? It was just typical. It's a response and, you know, hey, Merry Christmas. And I know these days you can sometimes get in trouble for saying that, all right? But that's good trouble to get into, okay? We don't say Merry Christmas trying to offend anybody anywhere, but we do believe in Jesus and we don't want to be secretive about that. However, Merry Christmas, the whole idea is you're wishing someone well at this time of season. Merry Christmas. You know, Elanam, Merry Christmas. I want this to be good for you. John, Merry Christmas. I want it to be good for you. That's what we're doing. Damaris, I even want it to be good for you, too. Merry Christmas. And that's the whole point, Merry Christmas. But you know, there's something a little bit deeper behind it. Why don't we say that all year round? See, if you celebrate Jesus' birthday all year, you can say it every day, right? But it's funny how in our society, we've kind of now, this is the season to be a little bit nicer. This is the season to be a little bit kinder. This is the season, hey, let's go feed the homeless. This is the season, let's share something. And I'm not against any of that at all. I'm all for niceness, kindness, sharing things, helping the homeless, absolutely. But what happens when we do that is we get this kind of wish. You see, what people look to in this season, they're always looking for something better. Can we somehow have a better world? Can I somehow be better? Can my neighborhood, can my situation, Merry Christmas, Brian, I want something better. Onesimus, Merry Christmas, I want something better. That's what we want. That's what we look for. And so for these past couple of weeks, well, starting last week, we did Merry Christmas from Mary, what she would wish for us. And today I want us to do another Christmas card, a Merry Christmas from a man named Simeon. And I want us to go to Luke, the second chapter, and I want us to listen to his Merry Christmas. He's trying to wish something better for all of us here. Something different. And in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 25, it says, now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." I want you to stop and think about what he said there. Picture if you got a Christmas card, and in it you had the manger scene, and here it was, "This child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many and will be a sign spoken against." Merry Christmas. Have a great season, right? You would be looking at this saying, "Now, you know, I don't get that. That sounds not encouraging. That sounds, you know, somewhat dark. What in the world's talking about?" But you know what? You've got to stop up and back up here. What Simeon is revealing is by the Holy Spirit of God. And what Simeon wants for all of us, in a sense, is a Merry Christmas. He wants us better. He wants our life better. Not easier. Not, you know, going our way, but better. Because, see, better comes from within. Show me a person who has surrendered themselves to God and becoming better on the outside, and there is nothing you can do to them to take them down. They stand forever. And so Simeon is doing that. But you know what he's calling people to? Make a decision. Do you want a Merry Christmas? Do you want things better? You've got to make a decision. Indecision is a decision. Sometimes people look at this baby that grew up and says, "You know, that's a good idea. One of these days, I really would like to follow him because, you know, it's important to get your life together." No, you've already made the decision. The decision is no, I don't want him. Now, I want to brag on my wife a little bit here, okay? My wife is doing awesome health-wise. She goes to that gym. She grabs those weights. I'm afraid of her these days, all right? No, I am so proud of her because she has really been serious about her health. Now, here's the thing I maintain. She was doing some things about her health and doing good. She was doing good. But the reason she got to a really good place health-wise is something bad happened. It was a year ago, last New Year's Eve. She's rushed to the emergency room. She's rushed into surgery to have a stent because the widower maker artery on her heart was 90% blocked. She was going down. They said a major heart attack is going to happen anytime. And this is not the easy heart attack you walk away from. This is time to clean house and go. That's bad news. That's terrible. That's awful. But her great health right now can be directly traced back to that bad news. What would have happened if she hadn't gotten that bad news? What would have happened? I tell you what, right now, I believe she wouldn't be here today. That's what they said. 2019 is the year it's going to happen. You're going out unless we do something about it. So all of this good health comes from some bad news. But you know why? She made a decision. "Doctor, tell me what I need to do. Doctor, how do I approach this? Doctor, you just tell me and I am here. And I will do exactly what you say, hence good news." Spiritually, that's what has to happen. You got to come to a point in your life where you've made a decision. Because with Jesus, you either rise or you fall. He came into this world, nobody puts him on hold. Even those people that think they can put him on hold have already decided. Because God is serious about people coming to him, but he leaves it up to their choice. He sets a table, he does everything for them, but it is our choice. And we think, I don't like that. But Simeon's going, Merry Christmas. It's for your good. You've got to understand right now, you will rise or you will fall today on how you respond to Jesus. Interesting thing is we read in the history that's happened since that, some of the most unlikely people have risen. People that society said, oh, this person could never change. They followed Jesus and began a whole new journey. Oh, my goodness. And Jesus said, well done. We see these widows. We see prostitutes. We see tax collectors. We see all that. We even see great responsible people. A centurion totally changes. And we look, well, what's the common element here? Maybe economic strata. No, rich change, poor change. Maybe it's a political thing. No, there were good Roman, bad Romans, right? Centurion. Some Romans were making fun of Jesus. One Roman was saying, I'm not worthy to have you come under my household. You can't classify this. Jesus isn't for a certain person. He's for everybody. He's for everybody. It's not going to be easier for Daniel than it is for me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're white, black, Latin, Asian. Doesn't matter. Any of that. He is for all people. But the decision time is now. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Simeon does not want anyone to miss it. He was so excited. You know, what excites your life? Think about that. What really excites your life? This was what excited his life. Now stop and think. I mean, there are a lot of things I like to do in life, and there's nothing wrong with that. But can you imagine if, man, I'm just waiting to see what God's going to do? Because I tell you what, we're suffering now. This is not a feel-good situation we're in. And all we have is this promise, God, help me see. And the Holy Spirit says, Simeon, you're going to see it. All right. But he doesn't see this conquering come in. I'm going to clean house. He sees a baby. And the Holy Spirit goes, there you go. All of the hopes and dreams of mankind, everything you've always wanted to be, but you chase after it in the most varied ways, says it's right there. He's right there. God has become man and will feel what you feel and take you where you need to go. You don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to be good enough. You don't have to have all this power in and of yourself. You just got to follow him. Make a decision. And all of these people rose. It showed the true, full of faith people. And who were the people that went down? Sometimes it was the religious folk. The religious ones that missed the entire point. They missed the fact that this was supposed to be a revolution of heart, not just an accumulation of knowledge or not just knowing some right things. And they fell. What does it mean to live the life of the risen? I want to key on one word. Well, two words, okay? I'm sorry, two words. Peace and unity. And I want us to go to Ephesians chapter 2, and this is the life of the risen. Ephesians 2. Listen to what this baby did. And for all who accepted him, this is what they experienced. Verse 11. Ephesians 2. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember at that time you were separated from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Unity and peace. Three ways in the life of the risen when Jesus came, anyone that responded, no matter where they came from, no matter how messed up they thought they were, none of that matters. Because in Christ, number one, you have peace and unity with God. Prior to this, Paul is talking about how God has reconciled the Gentile world and the Jewish world. People of promise with people that had no promise. And he's now brought them into one body through Christ. And so you look at our group and all of the eclectic groupings we are, mankind and all of its variety and beauty and splendor. But it isn't just for one part of mankind, it's for all of us. But at one time, we were without hope and without God. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, Dead Man Walking. The title of that movie comes from the fact that way back when, in our penal system, there on death row, that's what guards would say as they were escorting the person to the chair or the gas chamber. Dead man walking. Dead man walking. And you would go, that guy's not dead. He's walking. That's not dead. I mean, you can take his pulse, blood pressure. But what were they saying? The guy has no hope. He's just as good as dead. He's just taking up some oxygen right now. There's no hope. There's nothing. There's nothing that's going to help him now. And at one time, that was me. Without God and without hope, that was me. But I came to a point, I understood what sin was. Let me challenge us here. Are you rising? Do you still have a good conviction about sin? Sexual immorality, lying, stealing, cheating, racism, hatred, jealousy, resentment. These are not personality quirks. These are what people needed to be saved from. These are the things that create enmity and distance between us and God. We're not perfect, but man, he gave us confession and repentance. Two amazing tools. We can confess and repent. But if we get fuzzy on what sin is, now we're going down. It's not going to be a Merry Christmas. We have peace with God. You can walk around, I can walk around, not in perfection. Man, I did everything right today. No. You let me know if you have a day like that, and I'll sit there in august amazement. And I will ask you, show me the way, man. Because I've never had a day that all went good, that I did everything right. Never. I've had some really bad days spiritually. I've had some whatever. None of it matters. You know what matters? I am following. Are you following? And when I have a bad day, God, thank you. I can confess. Brothers, help me understand this. I get to repent, and I keep following. And so my life is characterized by hope. And by change and by growth, not by no hope and no God. There is peace with me and God, not based on my greatness, but based on his salvation. All I do is choose to follow every day and be open to grow. God doesn't force it against me. That's what I do. Second peace I have is not only with God, but I have unity and peace with myself. I'm now a citizen of heaven. My identity has been restored. I don't have to live a life of, Well, I ought to do that. I ought to be this. And I'm almost going to be this type of person. The almost ought to life is a frustrating life. You know what it creates? It creates division within yourself. It separates you from yourself. All that you are. And you think, but does that mean I'm perfect? No, it's not perfection. But you're becoming. You're becoming. Your life is characterized by, again, we go back to openness, the confession, repentance. You have nothing to hide, so the restoration from within is happening. You are a citizen of heaven. You're not just yourself. It's no longer just Sheridan Wright with my own agenda. It's the new creation, Sheridan Wright, with the kingdom of God agenda. You start the day off, God, what would you have me do? It doesn't start off with, I don't know if I want to. Anytime I start my day off with that, I start stopping. And I've done this recently. I realize how long I would go, even when I didn't want to do stuff, without wondering why I didn't want to do it. I would live an unexamined life, much to, you know, I guess Socrates' chagrin. But I would, you know, I wouldn't stop. But nowadays, when I get up in the morning, I want to serve you, God. And if there's like, I really don't feel like doing anything, I stop and I talk to the Father about it. What is going on with me? Why don't I? Why don't I just want to get up and, God, whatever your will is, no matter how difficult that cost, I just want to do your will. If I'm not, I want to do that, I stop and say, Sheridan, why don't you want to do that? You know why? Because if I don't, what starts happening is I start losing the peace within myself. I start becoming disunified within myself. I start separating from who I ought to be and start becoming something else. And then the anxiety, the worry, the doubt, all of this stuff starts to take the place of the peace and the Merry Christmas that I am seeking. That's what Simeon wants to know. When Christ comes into your life, you rise with unity within yourself. And I think about that also, the last part, with unity with one another. If we're unified with God and at peace with God, if we're unified within ourselves and at peace with ourselves, guess what happens? Joy to the world, peace on earth, goodwill to men. We live in a democracy. I'm thankful to be in a democracy. Winston Churchill once said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the others. Now, what was the point that Churchill was pointing out? If it weren't for people, democracy would be awesome, wouldn't it? We mess it up. Could you imagine if everybody was growing and being Christ-like? How smooth. I mean, you could switch different governments. Hey, let's have a dictatorship. Deb, you get to be dictator today. And all she would think about is, how can I make these people's lives better? It's all about them. And then she'd get to a point, I'm kind of tired of it. Hey, Brian, you want to be dictator? Yeah, let me try it. And all Brian would do is, hey, you see, if people's hearts are right, you could have any type of government. Anything. But people still look to that as a solution. Hey, we live in a democracy. Do what you got to do. But if your hope's in that, there won't be goodwill, peace on earth. We'll do the best we can. But it's got to start with God. It's got to start within me. And then we go to others. You know, in Luke 10th chapter, we don't have time to turn there. But you go back. Read the famous parable, the Good Samaritan. It always kind of humors me. You know, in the text, it doesn't call him the Good Samaritan. You know that? In the Bible, it never calls him the Good Samaritan. Well, in the NIV, it'll have a heading, Good Samaritan. That's not in the original text. So why do we call him the Good Samaritan? Because he's a Good Samaritan. You know who called him Good Samaritan? The entire world called him that. Because Jesus was just making a point in answer to who is my brother. Is my brother just guys or just girls? Or just whites, or just blacks, or just Latins, or just poor, just, you know, Asian or just whatever. You know, what's the limit? The man was asking Jesus, so who is my neighbor? And so Jesus tells that story, and you know what he says? Basically, peace on earth and goodwill to men comes from the fact we're reconciled to God, we're reconciled to each other, and we view every single human as our neighbor, created in the image of God. We may not agree with what they're doing. We may not like what they're doing. We may be in an adversarial stance. Hey, I can't go along with that. But the way I view them is I'm not better than. I'm creating the image of God just like them. They can have more talent, less talent. They could have, be from different back. It doesn't matter. Because in the life of the rising, you view all mankind that way. Everybody is important. Everybody deserves respect. And everybody ought to hear about God's love through Christ. That worth applies to all of us. So, I heard a story once. A father was trying to get some work done in his office, and his little son kept interrupting him, kept coming in, "Daddy, play with me, Daddy, play with me." You know, the dad's going, "Oh boy, come on, I gotta get this stuff done." And so, you know, Tommy going out, and he'd start doing the little boy, "Daddy, Daddy, play with me." So finally the father goes, "Okay, I got to do something." There's this magazine, and in the magazine is a page with the world. And he goes, "Okay, Tommy, come here." And he takes that page out of the magazine, tears it up into pieces, gives Tommy a roll of tape, and says, "Here you go, Tommy, go and put this back together." And he goes, "Finally, I'm going to get about a good couple of hours here to get things done." Within 15 minutes, little Tommy comes back with his page taped together perfectly. Every country in its right place, all the boundaries. And the father's going, "How in the world did you do that?" And Tommy goes, "Oh, it's easy, Dad. You see, when I turned the pieces over, there was a picture of a man. So I knew if I got the man right, you would get the world right." Tommy is a prophet. That's not a Christmas card greeting, although that should be the Christmas card greeting on every heart. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Simeon, how do we do that? Simeon, you're saying Merry Christmas. It's going to come by making a decision right now. What will you do with Jesus? If you will follow him, then your rising will result in peace between God, peace within yourself, and peace with others that are following God. And those that aren't, you still feel at peace, though they may oppose. But you know one thing, peace is not going to come from anything outside. It comes from God. It comes from that baby that grew up that now is standing at the right hand of God that one day will come back again. And so Simeon says, "Merry Christmas." We're going to take the communion, and as we take that, I'm going to have Yahira come. And she's going to sing a song. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And the song is about hearing it and just listen to the words. And now when they're listening to this and all of the great intent of peace on earth, goodwill to men, you almost get discouraged when you see how many bad things are going on. But then you listen to the chorus and the fact that God is not dead. Wrong will not prevail. Right will prevail. You know why? That little one was destined to cause the rising and falling of many. And when you side with him, the right will always prevail. Let's say a prayer as we take the communion, and then Yahira will sing as we're meditating.